Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's face it. This was a nightly star-studded affair. The Lakers, of course, with Kobe and Shaq and Phil and some other ancillary parts there, Jeannie and some players that were there. Amazing. Just an amazing run. And Jeff Perlman, who's a really good author, has got a new book out entitled Three Ring Circus, about that entire dynamic, the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, and of course Phil. And Jeff is with us here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm only here to talk with Tiki about our time when we both lived in New Rochelle. We lived there at the same time, and I know Tiki lived in the worst house ever made in New Rochelle, New York. The worst housing development. It was terrible, right?
It was one of the worst.
What?
It was terrible.
Wait, was this when you were on the Giants?
No. This was long after I was retired. This is when I was my kids were up in Riverdale, and
gotcha. Transitional pad for Tiki. Leave it alone.
To Jeff's point, I was there for a year. It had an elevator in it, but the elevator was flooded, and there were snakes in it. And I'm not even joking.
A real life menagerie for Tiki.
I'm not even joking. But Jeff, let's get to the book, Three Ring Circus. This is an interesting story, obviously, because of the principles that are involved in it. And you start off by talking about Kobe and how you found out about his death. But, you know, the Lakers, just as a organization, have been this fascination in our country, in our sporting world forever, and even more so now with LeBron there. You know, as you were writing this book, what was the goal? Like, what were you trying to get out of the Three Ring Circus with the L.A. Lakers?
I just really love the stories. I don't have some, like, overarching, you know, world peace and blah, blah, blah. Like, I thought the dynamic between Kobe and Shaq was always fascinating. I thought the job Phil Jackson came, and sort of the comparisons of him coming in to coach Michael Jordan after Doug Collins, and him coming in to coach Kobe after Dale Harris was really interesting. And I just think the dynamic of it all was really fascinating. I just wanted to tell a good story. So there's no amazing goal. I wanted to write a good story.
Well, it seems like you did. You know, the first point of discontent, like when the seeds were first planted, like, ooh, we've got a little character rubbing the wrong way, these two guys. It's not smooth out of the chute. What was it, the first identifiable issue?
The first moment was, Kobe is drafted out of Lower Merion, and he's a high schooler straight to the NBA. And the same time he was drafted, Jermaine O'Neal was drafted by the Portland Trailblazers out of high school. So the two high schoolers reported in their teams. Jermaine O'Neal reports to the Portland Trailblazers. His head is down. Whatever they tell him to do, he does. Yes, sir. No, sir. You know, everything. Kobe shows up for the Lakers. It's in Hawaii training camp, first day. They go around and they introduce themselves. Hi, I'm Nick Van Exel. Hi, I'm Shaq. Kobe goes, my name's Kobe. I played at Lower Merion High School last year, and nobody here is going to punk me. And it was like, what? You know, like, what? And during that training camp, he was actually injured. And when he started playing, he just was this thing. He was like a bad Michael Jordan tribute band, where he was doing all the mannerisms and all the crazy shots, but he wouldn't find the open man. He wouldn't pass. He didn't play NBA passable defense. And Shaq gave him a nickname early on. He started calling him Showboat. Hey, Showboat. Hey, Showboat. Hey, Showboat. And it was not a friendly way. He didn't really understand this guy coming along with this level of confidence at 18 years old.
Yeah. No, and it wasn't long, though, before they did play well together and started winning championships. And even if they developed a rivalry, it worked. Where does the credit to making personality issues like that work so that the team can still win. We were talking to chemistry earlier about the Denver Nuggets as it pertains to their fight against this current Lakers iteration. But how do you manage that type of person, that personality difference, and then make it work and win?
Well, I think a few things. Number one, they did have two of the five best players in the NBA on the court at the same time. So, I mean, generally, if you have that level of talent, you're going to be pretty good no matter what. The other thing is, like, they always brought in guys who were really savvy, smart, important locker room guys. You know, like, everyone talks in sports, oh, the coach, the key, the coach. And the coach generally isn't dealing with the nitty-gritty every day. He's not sitting there babysitting players. He shouldn't be. So they would always bring in guys like Rick Fox, like Robert Horry, you know, like J.R. Reed, John Sally, Ron Harper. And Phil Jackson was a very hands-off, I'm not going to interfere with everything going on here. And those guys are really mature. And one thing I actually love, it's funny, Kobe was tough, like he was a tough nut to crack. And no one ever, I don't think anyone ever thought they fully got to him. And J.R. Reed, veteran forward, he came to the Lakers in the Glenn Rice trade. And one day Jerry West, the GM of the Lakers, said to him, you know, J.R., I really like the way you handle younger players. Do you think you could talk to Kobe and see if maybe you can get him to be more a part of the team? So J.R. Reed, whenever they're flying, he'll say to Kobe, hey, Kobe, come in the back of the plane, sit with us. Kobe's like, nah, man, I'm good. Hey, Kobe, a bunch of us are going out to dinner. Come on, let's go to dinner. Nah, I'm good. Thanks, I'm good. And J.R. Reed, after trying, whatever, 6, 7, 8 times, finally goes back to Jerry West and says, I don't know what to tell you. It's not working.
Yeah.
And there was another time. Just one example. Shaq takes the entire team out to dinner, fancy seafood restaurant on the road. Kobe's like, nah, I'm good. And a half hour later, they're all at dinner. And he shows up at the restaurant, gets a table for one with a book. And Jeff was a different kind of guy.
All right, so we're talking to Jeff Perlman, and the book is called Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. See, I want to focus on Shaq here, because as we talk about Kobe and, you know, a little cocky to start, and obviously the way you lay it out, a little belligerent in terms of veteran authority. Okay, that's fine. Okay, a little uniquely wired. Jeff, my problem with Shaq, first of all, we love Shaq. We've had him on the show a lot. I love him on TV. He's just one of the great people on this planet. I love the guy. But he is not a top 10 all-time player, despite people who think he is. He's just not. He's an underachiever, in my opinion. He never fixed his greatest weakness, which was his free throw shooting, and he was never always in good shape. So we might start the conversation with Kobe being a pain in the behind, but in my opinion, most of the issues were Shaq's lack of professionalism or being all in. Am I wrong? Not about the part about top 10. That's subjective. About the other stuff.
I probably couldn't agree. I could not disagree with you more.
Wow.
I actually strongly disagree with you.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying it's just a disagreement, so I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, I got you.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Here's the thing. All right, the free throw shooting is a very fair complaint, and it's something that really bothered Kobe Bryant, is why wasn't this guy working on it? Because he really didn't work on it that hard. And there'd be phases where he'd be like, oh, I got this guy, and I'm working with this guy, and he tried different techniques, but it never – did he work on it really hard? No. But I feel like part of the myth that Shaq was, quote unquote, not a hard worker came because he was playing next to maybe the hardest worker we've ever seen. And – the thing that guys will tell you, you talk to Rick Fox, you talk to Ori, you talk to these guys, like Shaq would spend a season getting just the absolute snot kicked out of him. And you were playing San Antonio and you think that's a tough matchup because they have Tim Duncan on him. But they would have Tim Duncan and Malik Rose on him at the same time. And he would be decimated. And people say his body by the end of a season was just battered. Mm. So season's over, he's back home in Orlando, he's in a pool, he's smoking a cigar, he's relaxing, he's doing what you're kind of supposed to do. Kobe could afford to be in the gym nonstop, number one, because it was how he worked. And number two, he just didn't have the physical battery that Shaq had. I agree with you. Toward the end, Shaq probably could have had greater longevity if he had worked harder to stay in shape. I talked to his personal trainer after heading into the 2003-04 season, and he was like, yeah, it was really hard to get Shaq to want to run or lift weights. Like, if we wanted to get him to work out, we had to find creative ways, like get him to play flag football. Or, you know, do stuff like that. It was tough. But I do think in his prime, he was a really hard worker. He really was. He just had the crap kicked out of him day after day.
Yeah, but think about
this. I don't fully agree.
Okay, and a little difference of opinion. I got you. I like hearing that perspective. I still believe what I believe, but I like how you lay that out.
Sorry.
But, the fact I still think there was a championship or two left on the table. And again, I'm going to place that at Shaq's doorstep, not Kobe's.
All right. Here's why I disagree strongly.
Okay.
To that 2003-2004 season. First of all, it's the craziest season for any single team I've ever written about. They bring in Malone and Payton to form this quote-unquote super team, right?
Yeah.
Phil Jackson doesn't want Payton, but Jim Buss wants Payton. So they bring in Gary Payton. He's the worst triangle point guard ever. He's just a disaster. He's not made to play the triangle. That guy's made to dribble and shoot. They start the season. Shaq wants his contract renegotiated. Jerry Buss not really feeling it. Phil Jackson doesn't know what his future is with the team. He's not really feeling it. Kobe is returning from an injury. He's flying in and out of Colorado because of a sexual assault case.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter, and he's throughout the season, he's saying, I'm out of here, and is telling people, I'm leaving for the Clippers. I'm going to play for the Clippers next year. There's a game against the Clippers when during a timeout, he's standing along the sideline with Mike Dunleavy, the Clippers coach, and says, get me out of here. Like, he's gone. And yeah, he was tired of Shaq and he was tired of all the nonsense, but like, he was gone and he was done. And the thing that drives me crazy, forget for a moment that he's deceased and the sadness of it all, the thing that's frustrating, like, he was mad at the Lakers because of the way they treated him during the whole sexual assault, him flying in and out. He didn't like that they didn't send a good plane to fly him back and forth. He thought it was a subpar aircraft. And if you remember, he went to Eagle, Colorado to get a surgery behind the back of the Lakers. The Lakers didn't even know he was going to be in Eagle getting a surgery. He was the one who, whatever happened with this woman, he was the cause of it. And then he was mad at the Lakers. Like, he was offended at the Lakers. Then they head into the finals against Detroit. Kobe is dead set on winning the MVP of that series. He shoots and shoots. The players are going insane at his inability to pass during that series. He's basically given up on playing with Shaq. And at the end of it all, he literally says to Kareem Rush, his teammate, after game five, I'm never playing with that MF-er again, that MF-er being Shaq. So I'm just saying there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Interesting. There's a lot going on.
Interesting man Kobe Bryant was, and he obviously will be missed. And it seemed like as he got a little bit older, he softened and became much more
and so did Shaq.
Humane.
Yes.
Towards people, competitors, allies, whatever it may be. I wish we had more time to detail all the stories in this book, Jeff, but we can't wait to read it. We appreciate you coming on and chatting for a little bit, some of these stories that we're going to find when we read this. So appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.